I want to talk to you today about being happy people. Are you happy people? Yeah? Okay. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. While you're turning there, let me give you some happy jokes. Are you ready? I'll try to make you laugh a little or groan, whichever one. You know, I like groaner jokes. See, if you're not happy with my joke, it doesn't matter because I'm happy with my joke. Like, that's the thing. For example, what do you call a happy cowboy? Anybody know? He's a Jolly Rancher. Yeah, that's the one you teach to your, you know, grandkids while you give them a little piece of candy, Jolly Rancher candy. That's a good one. So a genie said to me, one wish. And so I said, I just want to be happy. Sounds like a reasonable request. So now I'm living in a cottage with six other dwarves and working in a mine. Yeah, some of you didn't get that probably, but that's all right. By the way, Lisa's birthday was last Tuesday. Yeah, yeah. And she told me she would be happy as long as I got her something with a lot of diamonds in it. So, I was very confused when she took the little box that I had and took the wrapping paper off of it and then threw it at me without even opening the box. I don't know, maybe she didn't like the Hoyle cards. Maybe I should have got her aviators or bicycle cards. There was a lot of diamonds in there, though. She's like, you should have run that one by me first, honey. That's a horrible joke. Oh, and just, this is the informational thing here. You know that your wife doesn't love you as much as your dog. And I can prove it. Take them both, lock them in the trunk of your car for 15 minutes, go back and let them out and see who's really happy to see you. Right there. All right. Enough jokes. But I will tell you this. Have you ever, you know, heard that phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? My wife has that on a shirt, but it also includes, and if grandma ain't happy, run. Yeah. That's my life. I'm sticking to it. So really, are you happy? Are you happy, generally speaking? Did I make you unhappy with those jokes? I don't think so. I think you're probably pretty happy people. So if you're not a happy person, I'm sorry. And if you sit next to an unhappy person, just, in fact, why don't everybody just lean over and say, this is for you today. Just tell somebody. I want to make you happy. I want you to be happy. Do you know that happy is a very American thing? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yeah. So I think happy is a good thing. Proverbs 16:20, if you're there, verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. There you go. That one dwarf must have trusted in the Lord. That's why he was happy. I'll quote another verse to you. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Comes from Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy. So what is that exactly? Most people think of happiness as a sense of well-being, and that's pretty accurate. That's a pretty good way of describing it. But it's also translated blessed. It comes from the Hebrew word ezer, and it's connected to the word help. Some of you may remember me talking about the ezer in the Bible, and there is this person in the Bible who's called an ezer at the very beginning of the Bible. It was the helper, the helpmeet that God made for Adam. But you know who gets that word ezer applied to them more than Eve? Was God himself. So some people think that the ezer is, you know, just come alongside, but you do your own thing. You're in large and in charge, and they just give you a hand at what you're doing. The reality is, try that with God, and you're in trouble. And try it with your wife, guys, and you're probably in trouble too. Just saying, you know, she's not there just to support everything you do. She's there to help you do things that are good for you and good for life in general. I can prove that. It happened to me this morning. I put on this shirt with a different colored pair of pants, and my wife said, no, 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 no. See, she was there to help me. And that's a good thing, because even though I could prove to you that the color was in this shirt, she said, no, no, it just doesn't work. I'm like, yes, it does. Look, nope. No. Gave me the look. I knew. Don't be stupid. How many of you are happy to know that God's your help? That's pretty good news. God is your help. And so there's reason to be happy because God is there, and no matter what the moment brings us, we can look to God, and there we can find that helper, which then brings us at least up from where we were. Maybe you'll say, well, I didn't reach happiness. I believed God was there, but I didn't reach happiness. Well, maybe you could, and maybe I can help you do that. That's the goal today. So I was looking at that second verse that I quoted to you, Psalm 144. It says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And I looked at that word are, and I went, oh, yeah, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Present tense. I think that's important to take note of. It doesn't say happy were the people whose God is the Lord, or happy will be the people whose God is the Lord. It's trying to bring our attention to the idea that we can find happiness in the present tense. Now, sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to find happiness in the present tense. Maybe you're just tense, you know, and you're just, the situation is tense and you're just trying to figure out how you can handle this. But what if you could bring happy into the present tense every time you needed happy to be brought into the present tense? That'd be pretty cool. God is the key to being happy. So I guess I'd like to ask it like this. I wrote this question down to make sure I got it right. If unhappiness is evidence of not being fully aware of him in the moment, then happiness would be the awareness of him in the moment. Right? I mean, you can be in some pretty tight spots, but if you're aware of God's presence, you can move forward even when it doesn't seem like it's going to work, right? As long as I know this, you know, I'm not too happy about this situation, but if God is in the middle of this situation, maybe I can find some happiness in this situation by looking at him, not at what's around me. Now, again, my purpose is not to condemn with what I'm saying right here. I don't want to condemn you. I don't want to condemn me. Because there are those times when we're not happy. I'm going to share one of those with you in just a little bit here. Not a big one, just a minor one. My purpose in what I want to say this morning is not to make anyone feel condemned. It's not condemnation, it's information. I want to create a formation inside of you like a strong tower that you can run to when everything seems to be going haywire. That's what the Lord wants to be. And so he wants you to be able to find help in time of need. Yeah. By the way, I've tried being happy and I've tried being unhappy, and I found that when I was happy, it was a lot easier to be happy than it was when I was unhappy, and unhappy is just not as fun as happy. Anybody besides me figure that out? Mm-hmm. And I've met a few people. Have you met some people who seem like they're only happy when they're unhappy? Which is very confusing. Yeah, well, and by the way, if they're only happy when they're unhappy, then they have to be unhappy to be happy, which means they have to be unhappy most of the time. I don't know how that works. According to the psalm that we are focusing on here, people who have the present tense awareness of God are happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So that present tense awareness, like when you get into a situation, sometimes I will use me for an example at least. I know when I get into a situation that I'm not happy about, it's usually because I'm trying to figure out how to fix it. And I'm not immediately looking to the Lord, I'm immediately looking to my knowledge base, which is scary. So you've got less of an opportunity to zone in on what God has in mind with the situation, and therefore it's a little harder to be happy. And then the other verse that I read, it said that we trust him. Trust is another present tense word. We trust him. So I zone in on God instead of on what's going on around me, and I put my trust in God instead of trusting in my ability, and all of a sudden, I can start to find a greater level of happiness. I might not be over the moon happy, but I can increase it, and increasing it makes me go in the right direction. That's a good thing. Let me just ask you this. Can you be sad and happy at the same time? Can you be sad and happy at the same time? What if I ask it this way? Can you be blessed and happy at the same time? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, you know, because we're Christians, so we use that blessed word. So, yeah, I can be blessed and sad at the same time. It feels easier to me anyway, I don't know. But most of the time we feel like we can't be sad and happy at the same time. Interestingly enough, the NIV and the NASB both translate in the two verses that we brought up so far the word happy as blessed. That's what they say. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Blessed are those who trust in God. So there is that sense of blessing that can be translated happy. And if you haven't heard it before, and many of you in the room have because you've been around a few years, I talk about happy once in a while. If you want to catch up on happy, you can go back to December 27th of 2020 message. And a few months before that, Mark Schnittke actually preached a message which was H period A period P period P period Y period. We like to talk about happy. I'm happy to do it. You're welcome. If you read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, by the way, there is actually a couple of versions that translate the word blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. There's a couple of versions that translate it happy. It's the right word, the right idea, happy. And if you read some of those, by the way, blessed are you, happy are you when people persecute you for my name's sake? Yeah, that's not easy. But you can be. Apparently you can be because Jesus said it. So I believe you can be. I remember not that long ago now, I mean, we're into the middle of February, but a year and a month and a half ago, my dad passed away. And, you know, I was sad because he was gone. I was sad and concerned for my mother because, you know, I knew this was going to be a big change for her. And I knew it would be hard on her, but at the same time, I was happy. Happy because I knew where my dad was. Like, I maybe blew it. I don't know. Because I had to go after dad passed. He was at Kingsbury waiting to be picked up, be taken to the funeral home, and mom was at our house, and mom needed something, so I had to go back to Kingsbury, and there's dad, and I thought, you know, I'll just raise him from the dead, hallelujah, and, you know, maybe it was my golden opportunity, and I blew it, but I didn't think he'd want to be coming back, quite honestly, because he had told me, like, in October, he had an episode when he was in the hospital one time where they almost lost him. And when I told him what happened, he goes, why didn't you let me go? Because I was the one that called the nurses and said, hey, I think something's going on here. And they were like, no, he's fine. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, if we'd have waited just a few minutes more, I don't know what would have happened. He was, why didn't you let me go? I want to be with Jesus. And people do reach that point, don't they? Usually for me, it's on Monday. But anyway, oh, Jesus, just come and get me. That was so bad yesterday. But yeah, I was actually pretty happy for Dad. I was happy that his battle was over. You've been there, haven't you? Happy that someone's battle was over? You know, blessed to know where they were? I was happy because I knew God, the God my dad had directed and guided me to, and I knew that God, I could trust him. I knew that he would be with me through whatever we have to go through. And so that made me happy. And did I forget God's goodness during that time? Not for a minute. Not for a minute. Because I was blessed. I felt blessed. And by the way, as a pastor who's done, I don't know how many funerals now I've done. It's a bunch. It's 100 or so, I think. You know, I've been at a lot of funerals with people who were Christians, and it's so much nicer. People who don't have any hope for the future. The people who have a hope are blessed. And they tend to be happy. And they tend to be able to celebrate because they can see past all of this to know there's something more. That's really blessed. So happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people, by the way. People. You people. You people out here. You people. The world is all full of all sorts of people. We're aware of that, right? There's lots of different people in the world, lots of types of people. Some people look at this verse, I suppose, and think that it's, you know, referring to the people of God only, or happy are the people whose God is the Lord, in that, you know, like the tribe of Israel. But just because you were born into a certain group doesn't guarantee that you'll be happy. We know a lot of people who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth and they're not happy. Some of the Sadducees and Pharisees really weren't that happy with Jesus. And Jesus was speaking to them in John chapter 8, verse 39. And they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Jesus wanted to point out to them that just because a person is born into a certain bloodline doesn't mean that they get to partake of all that should be theirs. Just because you've been born again doesn't mean you have to be happy. You don't have to. Happy are the people individually who are connected to God. And happy are the people who remember to connect to God when they need a good connection to God. Right? There are times when I need to, boy, things are not going as I planned or as I expected. It just throws me off. And I need to just back up a second and say, "More, Lord." We've been saying that for the last couple of weeks. Ever say, "More, Lord"? Yeah. We just need to pull him into the situation. He should never have been left out in the first place, probably, but, you know, I get it. We're walking through life doing the best we can. We just need more of him. So happy are the people whose God, well, there you go, God. Who is God? Sometimes when you're not happy, that's a revelation of who is God in your life. I mean, think about it. If you're really focused on the one true God and he is the source of your happiness, then your happiness can't be derailed by anything less than the one true source of your happiness. And I haven't figured this out yet. I'll prove it in a minute. But seriously, if money is your God, then you can't be happy without money. If fame, if power, if whatever you think you need to be happy is what you need to be happy, then it's finite. It's limited. And that's why there are a lot of very wealthy people who have every reason to be happy and aren't happy, because they keep running into limits. Whereas happy are the people whose God is the Lord, well, their God then is an infinite God who has an infinite amount of everything that they need and is infinite wisdom and infinite understanding, and he's just right there ready to be infinite to them and for them. And so if I can stay focused on the right God and not let something else get, you know, eclipse him for a minute, some loony thing that passes between me and God, and I get my eyes on it instead of on God. Our happiness can be without limits because we have a God who is without limits. I don't think that we normally think that way, like, I can have limitless happiness. Well, that's just not reasonable. No, God's very unreasonable. I mean, think about this. Again, we've been through this before. All the things that God asked people to do throughout the Bible that made no sense, they were totally unreasonable, and the unreasonable God made them come to pass. We just need more. Come on. Come on, Lord, just give me more. When I get in that spot where I'm running out, I just need to turn my eyes on you and say, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And by the way, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. The word Lord there is the word Yahweh, the word we get Yahweh from. It's really just YHWH, Yahweh. Some have said it's... Well, you know, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What if what they heard originally that they knew was God there in the tabernacle, and what they heard was breathing out and breathing in? Wow. Kind of cool. We added vowels to it so we could try to find a way to pronounce it, but that's not what it was originally. And it's translated Lord in so many versions of so many different translations of the Bible. It's Lord. The one thing about it and the reason it got translated Lord is because it is the self-existing one who is over everything. And lordship is the idea that he is over everything. Have you ever heard any preacher say, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all? If he's not Lord of all in my life, then he's actually not Lord at all in my life, because something has taken his place, which means he's not Lord. So when I let something take his place, I'm not walking in his lordship. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. No wonder I'm not happy. How can I be happy if something has gotten in the way of the lordship of God in my life? It's not his plan for me to be happy if I take him out of the lordship of my life, because he knows what a mess I'll make for myself if anything else becomes Lord, especially me, which, by the way, is the one I have the most problem with. Yeah. Me. Right? This guy right here. Again, this is not condemnation, by the way. What if I recognize unhappiness in my life and I get smart enough to connect to something that will take me away from what I've connected to that made me unhappy? If I reconnect to his lordship, then there's a good chance that I'll get away from whatever it is that I thought was going to make me happy but didn't make me happy. By the way, anybody ever experienced that? I was sure that was going to make me happy till I did it, and then it didn't make me happy. Yeah, I see some heads nodding. You get it. So when I reconnect to his lordship, that might just be the instantaneous way to turn the problem around and move in the right direction. So here's a question. What if I don't ever have to be unhappy? Well, that's just not possible. Okay, let me try another question on you. Do you think Jesus was ever unhappy? Well, Now we're getting into the deep theological weeds. Was he happy to go to the cross for you? Was he happy to suffer what he suffered because he knew what the result would be? There was a sense of well-being even in the moments of sadness or grief or anything else that he had. But I don't think Jesus was ever not happy. I won't ever achieve that. I've already been unhappy a lot. But I can start to work toward it, and maybe I don't ever have to be unhappy again. That just doesn't seem reasonable, does it? Doesn't sound doable. It sounds ridiculous. But I don't believe it is. Because happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Present tense, they become happy because their focus is on the God who is the Lord. And by the way, I want to make sure you understand this. I definitely have not mastered this. But I will say that I think that I've learned to be happy in some pretty insane circumstances over the years. And I'm not going to take time to roll out all those experiences in the different churches that I've served and working with different people who were Christians, but you couldn't tell at the time because they were very unhappy. And I was the source of their unhappiness when I really wasn't, but those things can happen. And I'm not talking to anybody. If you're having a bad day today, I'm sorry. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to change that. Would be good if I could change. How many would rather just have your bad day? Nobody raised their hand. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's glorious. But you know, there are some pity party people. Don't ruin my pity party. I'm having a good pity party here. Don't you ruin it. Well, I'm going to ruin your pity party if you are a pity party person. I don't want you to have pity parties. I want you to have breakthrough. And I believe you can. I just think happy is way better than unhappy. I don't know how I figured that out, but someplace along the line I did. So the goal is to equip God's people to carry happiness into the middle of the craziness of the world in which we live. Now, how many of you have noticed things seem maybe just a little crazier right now than other times in our lives? Yeah, me too, I've noticed. So is there a time when a happy Christian might just be a blessing to a world that needs it? What? Yeah. But some people are in misery and they need somebody happy. They just come around and make their day a little bit happier, if nothing else. Look at your neighbor again and tell him, you need to hear this. And be happy about it. Be happy about it. Just tell him, be happy about it. Just put your happy on. So the other day, I went to the Shell gas station here in town because my wife and I have this wonderful thing that we've done all of our married life. She does not pump gas. I do not do laundry. I am 65 years old and I have never done a single load of laundry in my entire life. But I have pumped a lot of gas. A lot of gas for her. Because she does not pump gas. She can say that she's pumped gas once. Yeah, you were with Beth. Did she actually do anything? Or did you guys get out and look together and go, well, this is what you do, Lisa. I tried to do that and she looked at me like, don't you even think about it. So, you know, I'm a smart guy. So it was cold out, and it was dark, and I had forgotten to go get the van and pump it during the day when it was at least a little bit warmer. It was one of those days when it was, you know, down close to single digits. And she says, car's on empty. Hint, hint. No, that was directly, go get me some gas. So I like, yeah, and that's the deal. I'm okay with it. But I get out there and the wind is blowing and the flakes are wisping by and wasn't a lot of snow, just, you know, just enough to know it's in the air and it's cold, and I go over to Shell. And I, by the way, I'm the guy who picks gas stations because I like how their pump works. Like, there was a gas station that was closer to us, Kex Market over there. Some of you know where that's at, by the closer to the school. And because we were living in Sherwood Forest at the time, I would go there a lot. The Kex people kind of lost me because every time I get gas, I need a receipt. I have to have a receipt. Because I use a credit card, and want to make sure I pay the credit card off so I don't get interest, and so I need a receipt. And they kind of lost me because their receipts weren't coming out. But I love their station. When the receipts are working, it's the best station in the world because you can walk in there and you can tap your card, shove your card in, use your phone, use your watch, whatever you want to use. If you've got Apple Pay, bing, and start filling. Like, it's no time at all to start filling at their pumps. They don't want a zip code. I do not want to put a zip code in. Excuse me, you don't need to know whether I want 5 cents off per gallon. Just leave me alone. Just, I want to get in here, and I want to get the gas started. I want to put it in the hole in the back of the car, and I want to get in the car because it's cold. Grumpy old man. So I go in, and I do the thing with the card, and it says processing. And I whistled that tune at least 5 times. So I'm like, what is going on here? So finally I go in, got to go all the way in from pump one, pump two. And I walk in and I see the girl there. And, you know, I'm trying to be happy, but I'm not happy. Because it wasn't what I was expecting. And I'm not even thinking about, you know, the sermon I'm going to preach later. So, you know, I walk in and I go, hey, I was nice. The pump. She says none of the pumps are really working right now. Just go ahead and tell me how much you want. I want to fill it up. It's what I do. I fill it up and then I get a receipt and then, you know, the most I can put in it, that way the least times I have to come back. But I didn't tell her all that. I want to fill it. And she goes, well, we can't do that. Just tell me how much you want. And my brain, you know, how many of you are creatures of habit like me? You know, this is what I do, and now you're interrupting what I do. I don't want my do interrupted. I want to do what I do. Stop already. No, you're messing up my life. Now I'm unhappy because you're making me miserable because you're making me do this. Now I don't like this. And so finally my brain just, you know, I didn't say anything. I'm just probably looking like, you know, I don't know what I look like. I was afraid I didn't represent the kingdom well. And I'm wearing, you know, a Bethel hat. Be the one. Be the one who yells at the teller. No, I didn't want to be that one. So I'm just, yeah, I didn't want to, I thought about just, I'll just turn around, walk out, go someplace else. Now that'll take too long because Shell's really close to where our house is now. And it's like, okay, $50. Because it takes that to fill the van up. It's a gas guzzler, whatever. So I went ahead and I went out and it filled up the $50. And of course, it seemed like it was running slow on top of everything else. And I'm sitting in the car and I'm just waiting because I did, you know, you're supposed to actually stand out and hold the thing, but I'm getting in the car. It's freezing. So I'm already cold and unhappy. And it hits me. Oh, this is stupid. Really? You got a nice warm coat, you jerk. Just straighten up. And then it hit me. I wonder what I look like. I really wasn't being mad when I was processing the $50 on the card thing and she gave me the receipt. And I was, you know. But I had a look on my face and I'm not sure how it looked. My wife will tell you sometimes I say things and I sound meaner than I mean to be. My demeanor is meaner than I mean it to be. So I knew what I had to do. I had to get back out of the stupid car. Not only to pull the thing out of the hole in the back of the car, put it back on the thing, but then I had to walk back into the Shell. And I did. I walked back in and the girl was waiting on somebody and she looked up at me like she was surprised to see me again, which I'm sure she was. And she says, is there something else you need? And I said, yes, I need to tell you, thank you for walking me through that because I wasn't sure how I would do that because I've never done it that way before. So thank you. I really appreciate it. And she gets this great big smile on her face and goes, oh, no problem, anytime. And just, you could tell she was really happy that someone said thank you. Because think about this. She told me none of the pumps were working right. How many people do you think were going in there and weren't happy? Do you think the majority of people who went in to get stuff that day were happy or unhappy with her as she's working there? And I came in and I said something nice and she became happy. So now I'm going to date myself. Anybody know the name Jimmy Durante? He had this really weird voice. He was a comedian, but he also sang. Big nose. And he would sing, make someone happy. Just make someone happy. And then you will be happy too. I just butchered the melody on that, but. And you know what happened when I saw her smile? I got happy. Just because I got my eyes off of my circumstances and got my eyes onto what I knew would make the Lord happy and would make, I didn't know if it would make her happy, but I went in and tried and I made her happy. So the Lord was happy and she was happy. And all of a sudden I was happy, happier than I was. Now, I know St. Jimmy is not quoted a lot on Sunday mornings. Probably not in a lot of churches. But you know, this idea of sowing and reaping is a big deal in the Bible. It's a big deal in the Bible. And so making other people happy is one of those things where we try to make the Lord happy and other people happy. All of a sudden, we become happy. It's our way of having sowing and reaping, and it's very fast. And some people do it regularly. Like, I don't know if I've heard about this year or not, but I know that Julie has on her desk, has had in the past funny things. Oh, it's on the wall calendar? Yeah, she's got funny stuff. Lisa will go in there once in a while and read something funny, and it makes her happy. Thank you. Because sometimes when she leaves in the morning, boy, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just being stupid right there because I wanted to make some people laugh, which made them happy. You know, I really wanted to strike up a conversation with that young lady, but there was a guy there and it wasn't. So I just said, okay, and left. It was an encounter. She didn't know it was a God encounter, but I know it was a God encounter, not because she felt it, although maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe that's why her smile was so big. But I felt it because God was like, there you go. That's what I want you to do. And that also helped make me happy. I heard a guy the other day, a famous guy. I'm not going to bring up his name. Just, I don't want to give the wrong impression of him. But he was questioning whether people who had religion in their lives were sometimes representing religion very poorly because they were so unhappy. And I do know some unhappy people. Some of them have a reason to be unhappy because if I followed that religion, I would be unhappy too. You can think of some religions that, you know, are kind of designed to make you unhappy. At least maybe half of the people in the religion, more than half of the people in the religion would be unhappy because they would be called the wives and they have to dress a certain way and do a certain thing and da da da. Oh yeah, there's some Christians like that too. But nevertheless, there are some religions out there that don't represent well because most of their people don't seem to be very happy. And this guy was questioning, by the way, he was a man of faith to a degree at least, I think. He was arguing that people who have faith in God should be happy. But he was also kind of condemning the fact that so many people who seem to have faith in God don't seem to be happy. I think it's a big deal. I also think that if we do represent God and anybody knows that we represent God and we claim God in any way, shape, or form, and then we run around being unhappy, we might be creating a problem for the very thing that we're trying to represent. Like if I spend a lot of time being grumpy and unhappy, then maybe people look at that and they go, yeah, I don't think I want what they've got. But if the God of your life is Yahweh, and he's truly Lord of your life, he's truly Lord of my life, then I should be one of those people who carries happy into every situation I go to and looks for opportunity to bring happy to people, because happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And if I can introduce them to God, they're going to be happier, at least, if not happy. Maybe I can't categorize them as happy all the time, but they're going to be happier. How many think happier is better than not happier? Even if it's just this much. If you walk out of here today with just a little happier than you were before, I will be happy. I'll probably be happy whether you do that or not. Some people will say that Christians should be the happiest people on the planet, but I have a statement for you. I believe Christians can be the happiest people on the planet. Not can as if they want to, but can. Like literally. We literally can be the happiest people on the planet. We can. We can be happier than any other group of people. I'm convinced we can, because no other group of people has what we have. They don't have Jesus. They don't have their sins forgiven. They don't have the Holy Ghost walking with them and living inside of them. We have so much to be happy about that we literally have the ability to be the happiest people on the planet. And if you haven't been mostly happy, it's certainly not out of your reach. I know some of you have gone through some rotten things. Again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you should be happy about the things, but I think you can be happy in the midst of the things, because you have something that brings you hope and life and peace in the storm and all of those things. He's right here. He's here right now. By his Holy Spirit, he's inside of you. That is enough when I focus on that to make me happy. Now, again, I have so much more I could say on this subject. You can find it on YouTube. Go back. I could start preaching the second message now, and I could probably add a third one to it, and pretty soon we'd be here for 3 hours and made everybody be unhappy. So I'm going to make you happy, and I'm going to stop preaching. Hallelujah. See, I knew I'd make somebody happy. Make just one someone happy. I can be happy too. Let's pray over this. Really, I don't know where to tell you to put your hands. You know, it's like, is it here that I need to change? Put them on my head? Or is it here in my heart that I need to change? Maybe a little bit of both. Pat your head and pat your stomach. But let's just do pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that we were designed to be happy. And we pray that we'll be aware of your presence, so that we can happily go through things at a level that only you can help us achieve and experience. I pray that we will learn to let ourselves be happy, even when we want to be grumpy sometimes. That we will learn to let your presence just guide us, and that we will keep our eyes on you, so that we can find ourselves saying, happy are the people, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So be Lord of our lives, we pray, and let us walk in what Jesus walked in. In your name we pray. Amen.